37 Cedar Creek Properties LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, by dividing 88.44 acres into 192 lots as a cluster development as within a environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone located south of Route 9 on both sides of Route 285 and 1/4 mile west of Route 1. This application was filed on December 6th of 2007. There was a technical advisory review and comments provided as of January 31st of 2008. Revised plans were received on February 6th of 2009. Revised plans were again received with an exhibit booklet, which is a three-ring binder I'm holding up right now, on June 12th of 2009. The plus response to the applicant's response was received on June 22nd of 2009. And since the exhibit booklet is a part of the record, I would ask that the applicant give some reference to the contents of that exhibit booklet. And that's all I have, unless you have a question.
All right, sir, we thank you. Before we begin, is there anyone here with a particular interest in this application this evening? Okay, then. Being the case, Chair recognizes Ms. Balliet.
Good evening, gentlemen. Heidi Balliet with the law firm of Tunnel & Razor, and I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Cedar Creek Properties, LLC, for subdivision number 2007-37. The applicant's representatives are here with me tonight. First, I would just like to introduce Mr. Paul Graves Carey to my left. He's the project representative. The owners of the property, there are four. First, Mr. William Graves, Dean Graves, Ann Barr Stubbs, and Maylin Graves, Jr. Presenting with me this evening is Mr. Mark Davidson, an engineering consultant with DC Group as well. Just for some familiarity with the family who's the applicant, their family's had a long history in Sussex County, and they have inherited the property from the family. Ann Barr Stubbs owns and operates a historic, it's called Sinking Springs Herb Farm, which is a 130-acre property in Elkton, Maryland. Maylin Graves, Jr. is a computer analyst and programmer, and he resides in Newark, Delaware. Dean Graves is the golf course superintendent at the Chevy Chase Club in Chevy Chase, Maryland. And lastly, Mr. Bill Graves is a lifelong business owner in Lewis, Delaware, just for familiarity purposes. The title history and the ownership of this site is of importance to the applicant. The applicant's family received ownership of the property in 1943. There's a copy of the prior deed in the project booklet. It was originally named Deep Valley Farm, which is where we got the name for the subdivision. And that was done by Mr. Maylin Graves Sr., who was the original purchaser in 1943. The applicant submitted by the Graves family was done with no special request for increased density or to request waivers of county and state subdivision directives. We are essentially presenting a low-density housing plan in an area that's predominantly high density. It was important to the Graves family that their subdivision application be zoning compliant without special requests. Now, for the record, I would just like to note that you've received for tonight's presentation a project booklet, which we'll be referring to from time to time. And without further ado, our application is for the subdivision of this AR1 zone parcel of land for a single family residential lot community. The applicant's request proposes 185 lots on a total site of 88.44 acres. The total open space would be 39.38 acres, which essentially calculates out to 2 units per acre. Mr. Davidson will be presenting the 99.9C and engineering items from the project booklet. The 2007 comprehensive plan for Sussex County places this site in an environmentally sensitive developing area. The guidelines for density indicates 2 units per the acre should be the base density, which our project complies with. Permitted uses listed in the comprehensive plan includes a project such as ours. Our use proposes single-family houses with access to arterial roads as per the plan. We have central water and sewer as are strongly encouraged under the plan. Tidewater Utilities will be providing the water service, which we have documented. The challenge set forth in the comprehensive plan is that the proposed project should, in quote, safeguard the genuine natural areas and mitigate roadway congestion without stifling tourism and real estate markets. And we believe that we've accomplished that under our proposed design. We believe we'd be creating work for the trades in the area, and the sale of the lands would generate additional taxes and fees to the county. The development plan for this site would not be detrimental to the environment, the local economy, nor the area of roadways. And you'll hear more of that from Mr. Davidson with the 99C items. Next, the agency comments do not object to this site. We've been working with the many agencies addressing their concerns throughout the project, the process. It's been a rather long one. One letter I'd just like to point out is Connie Holland had pointed out in the letter that she'd sent to the county on June 17th that she actually had appreciated working with us to address the state's concerns. We'll continue to work with and comply with the conditions as recommended by the various agencies. We have incorporated in the design many desired features. We have street lighting. We have sidewalks on both sides of the street. We have school bus facilities. Recreational amenities include a clubhouse, pool, and a tot lot. And one of the unique things is the applicants desired to incorporate features that have a link to the agricultural heritage that they have. And there are positioned silos that you'll see on the plan as an aesthetic feature in the community, just to link this new community with its past. Next, the proposed location is part of an emerging growth area according to the comprehensive plan. It is our opinion that this site is complementary to the surrounding properties. We will propose custom stick-built homes to be built on the lots. They will have deed restrictions and be managed by a homeowners association and an architectural review committee. The applicant's goal was to create a desirable single-family community that fits in with the surrounding uses. Many of the land use trends in this area are, as I said, compatible, so this makes this area an appropriate site. Contiguous to our parcel is the vineyards at Nassau. There are several other single-family lotted communities that are either built out or near completion. One such is Henlopen Landing, Plantations, Sea Spray Village, Seawood, Gosling Creek, the Villages of Five Points, Mallard Point, Edgewater Estates. You will note that Reserves at Lewis Landing is an active community. It has not been built out, and it's nearby. I consider that within the 1 mile vicinity of the property. Still other communities that are nearby, one is Mills Chase. It's actually a condominium community, and it is built out. And the vineyards at Nassau Valley, although it's residential, it's all condominium. So our site is unique because it's a lotted community, and many lots are not available in that 1 mile radius. The proposed location will not have an adverse impact on surrounding property values. In fact, we believe that the development of this parcel will actually increase or cause values of properties to increase. Lastly, the granting of this subdivision is in accordance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, as I've just outlined. We believe that it promotes the health, safety, morals, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Sussex County. And the approval of this subdivision is consistent with the general convenience and welfare of the inhabitants of Sussex County. So we would request that you approve our request. And before you do that, I'm going to ask Mr. Davidson to come forward and address some of the engineering, and then we can field some questions from you, if that's okay.
That sounds grand.
Great.
Good evening, Mark Davidson with Design Consultants Group in Milton, Delaware. As Mr. Lank read into the record that we did submit a hearing booklet, and some of the items that I'm going to cover, there's four reports that I put together for this hearing booklet. The first one being the section 99-9C, the ESDDOZ, the Environmentally Sensitive Developing District Overlay, section 115-194.3. There's also the PLUS report. This was submitted to PLUS, and we have the comments in here as well as my response to the PLUS, and then there's the state planning's letter back to the county, and as well as we put together an environmental report. So I'm going to try to incorporate all four of these to not elongate my presentation here. I'm going to start off with 99-9C, and I'm going to refer back and I'm going to refer back and forth between all four of these studies during this. As was stated, this is 88.44 acres. I would like to direct you to the boards over here. And this property is on the south side of Delaware Route 9, which is the Lewis-Georgetown Highway. There is approximately 68 and a half acres on the south side, which is split on the Beaver Dam Road. It's on the north side of Beaver Dam Road, the 66 and a half acres. On the south side of Beaver Dam Road is approximately 20 acres, 19.97. Inside each one of these, there's approximately 147 lots on the north side of Beaver Dam Road, and there is approximately 38 lots on the south side of Beaver Dam Road. Bordering this property is on the east side, there is a Delmarva Power substation, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. There are some single-family lots that are along Beaver Dam Road that border this. On the east side of the 19 acres or the 20 acres, we have the Delaware State Housing Authority, which is an open agricultural field at this time. And on the south and on the west side of these properties is open agricultural fields. As part of the integration of this subdivision into the existing terrain, what we've done is we've worked with several of the agencies, and going through the PLUS, we've prepared a central boulevard here. It's called Deep Valley Boulevard. This boulevard is is going to be the main focus of our subdivision coming into this site. It does extend across Beaver Dam Road into the 20-acre site here. We have been working with DLDOT carefully with the location of this boulevard. As you notice on the subdivision, there are no lots that are adjacent to this. There will be no lots backing out into this boulevard. This will be a connection that will be able to for traffic to be able to possibly connect from Delaware Route 9 as it is now, the Lewis-Georgetown Highway, down to Beaver Dam Road. As you come into these entrances, we have two traffic circles. What we're trying to do is a traffic calming effect here. We want to slow traffic down. We don't want this to be a primary cut-through for other traffic. This is for the subdivision. So what we've done is we've placed two traffic circles at either end of this boulevard. Inside these circles, as Ms. Valley had stated, and keeping in the theme of the farm, we've placed two silos. Working with Mr. Carey on this, our stated theme here is to take the silos and not to put entrance monument signs possibly at the entrances of this main boulevard, but to use the silos and be able to place the name Deep Valley Farm on the silos. And again, give it the effect that this is a farm, and it stays in kind of what the surrounding area still is, and we feel that it's an attractive aspect of this subdivision. Again, the boulevard being the main focus of the subdivision coming in. As you get in between the two circles, in order to again to help slow traffic down, we propose two stormwater wet ponds. And we place them close together. We're going to do a bridge effect. We're going to raise some elevations here to make it look like a bridge. Again, all this to help slow traffic down. Again, to keep this from being
major thoroughfare for cut-through traffic.
Spikes work good, too.
Sure do. The second one is the minimum use of wetlands and floodplains. Throughout the sections here and all the reports that I've prepared, we hired EnviroTech Environmental Consulting Incorporated. They did a wetlands delineation on this site. And on the 20 acres here, there's approximately 1.15 acres, 1.2 acres of both state and federal wetlands within this site. Those have been submitted to the Army Corps of Engineers. We are outside the 500-year floodplain for this property. The preservation of natural and historical features. Again, EnviroTech was hired to walk through this site to review any endangered species that could be within the existing wooded portions on here or within the entire site. That report is in the back section of the environmental review, the environmental assessment, and nothing was found on this site. Also, a database review also yielded there were no state resource areas, no natural areas, and no critical natural areas within the subject property. As part of the preservation for open space here, what we're showing here is 44% open space. The open space consists of walking trails, the existing wooded area that's on the site, on both sides of Beaver Dam Road. We are proposing top locks throughout the entire subdivision to allow, and we also have a clubhouse. And again, with this clubhouse theme, is going to, our thought is to make it look like a barn, and we have a silo next to it. So again, keeping with the theme of the farm, we're proposing the clubhouse to stay integrated with the aspect of this being a farming area. The minimum tree removal, there's approximately 9 acres of trees on this site. What we have done is we do have about approximately 3 lots within a small portion of the wooded site. Makes up approximately 10% of the existing woods on site. In the areas where the wetlands are, all the woods down here, everything has been kept out of the wooded area. We've also provided for a 50-foot buffer, which is under the subdivision code. We have to require the 50-foot buffer from state wetlands. Primarily, that 50-foot buffer falls within the woods, but within some of the open spaces here, we are providing that 50-foot buffer. Again, these woods here will stay intact and preserve the wetland area. Any screening of objectionable features? Our stormwater ponds, the wet ponds are within the site. We do show a wet pond on the bottom portion of the site. We don't know if it's going to be wet right now. We're looking at green technology. Again, one of the conversations that we've had with the Conservation District and that we've talked with DENREC and at the state planning, they have a handbook out called Green Technology. These are the guidelines in which we are going to use for our stormwater design here. We're going to use filter strips. We're going to use infiltration swales. Ponds will have greater slopes. They won't have the typical 4-to-1 slopes and steep slopes down there. What they'll have is 6-to-1, 8-to-1 type slopes. And on those slopes, we'll plant, in that handbook, there's approved vegetation, trees and types of bushes and grasses that can help absorb the stormwater for the site. So the overall theme here is to keep it natural, lots of landscaping, and a really attractive site. The provision for water supply, I'm not quite sure if I heard Mr. Lank, but we did have, I don't know if he received this, but if I could, I could hand this in. It's a willing and able letter from Tidewater Utility to be able to service the site with fire protection as well as potable water. The sewage disposal for this site will be handled through the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer System. What we're going to be doing is the ultimate end area for our sanitary sewer will be in an existing pump station. It's going to be upgraded, and it's being upgraded with the Nassau Vineyards project. Deep Valley will have to share in a contribution
for that upgrade into, in order to be able to discharge wastewater into the pump station.
The county, we've submitted conceptual sanitary sewer design to the county right now. What the county has asked us to take a look at is providing a gravity sewer line to help remove, there's an existing pump station along Beaver Dam Road that is adjacent to Deep Valley Farm. They would like to abandon that pump station and as well as be able to provide gravity sewer to the Delaware State Housing Authority property to the east of our project. So what we've done is we designed the sanitary sewer collection system to be able to handle gravity. There will be no pump stations within our site. The prevention of pollution service and groundwater. We've put together some extensive reports. We've done some preliminary design work. We've also submitted in the booklet and at the end of, in the back of the environmental report, is the nutrient protocol. And if the site is developed, the TMDL, although not mandated for this property because it was grandfathered in prior to the adoption of the nutrient protocol for this watershed, but we did run the protocol, and there is a table in the back of the environmental report, and we have significantly been able to reduce the total nitrogen with a developed site over currently what this site has now, as well as meeting the TMDL for this area. Again, I talked about some of the stormwater. I can tell you that the site does drain from the east down to the west. Again, we do have a natural drainage area running down through the bottom portion of our property here on the west side of our property. This is where we'll be focusing all of our stormwater. Our stormwater will run from the east to the west, and our ultimate discharge will be this branch that comes off of Goslin Creek here. We've talked with the Conservation District, and we'll probably, and some downstream analysis work will have to help look at and mitigate any downstream flooding in the future. The provision for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement. During the PLUS, the public division, Delaware Division of Public Health, basically, they didn't have, they did support our project. They did have a comment, and they stated that a survey by the Surface Transportation Policy Project found that 55% of Americans want to walk more on a daily basis to get exercise or travel. As Ms. Balliet stated, that we do have sidewalks on both sides of the road. Those sidewalks constitute about 4.5 miles worth of sidewalks on both sides of these roads here. We are
dedicating a 15-foot easement on both sides of Beaver Dam Road as well as along Lee Hunt for a 10-foot wide multimodal path.
It constitutes about 1.8 miles worth of multimodal paths that will have to be built for this project. With the walking paths that we are showing within some of the open space areas, and more walking paths will probably be planned once we develop our stormwater and our overall landscaping for this. There's approximately going to be over 7 miles worth of walking paths and sidewalks created within this subdivision. As part of the safe vehicular traffic, we've been working with DLDOT. There's comments in the PLUS about a possible US 9 relocation. DLDOT states that our plan is consistent with the current concept for the relocation of the US Route 9. We've made provisions, we've been working with DLDOT, and we've made several changes to our design layout here in order to help accommodate whatever future needs that DLDOT comes up with this area. Our site plan here is consistent to their current concept, and again, it is just a concept. With the covenants and restrictions in place, as Ms. Balliet stated, that we don't feel that there's going to be any effect on property values. the preservation and conservation of farmland. Deep Valley Farm is a residential community of single-family homes in a rural setting. And again, it is the stated goal of Mr. Carey and the Graves family to maintain this natural condition and to build on the remaining site in a way that will result in a character with a strong sense of community identity. Again, the silos, the clubhouse, looking, again, they wanted to look like a barn with the silo next to it. All the open space, we have a lot of open space within this site, will help preserve the area. The effects on the schools: the project will have a positive benefit on schools by generating economic benefits in the form of increased revenues. We talked about in the plus comments, they talked about the Department of Education, and I do, we have a breakdown of what we feel the students that would be generated by this subdivision. We also are working, we'll work with the transportation manager with the Henlopen School District about placing bus.
Again, with the location of on Route 9, Beaver Dam Road. We want to work with them, and with this being a boulevard here, we want to work with the Cape Elizabeth School District on where they might want to see school bus stops for this subdivision. I did want to back up for a second. I did want to talk about, we have another entrance here, and we were talking with Delbot about this entrance here. It's called Silo Street, is the name of it. And all street names have been approved by mapping and addressing. This entrance here is located directly across from an entrance that goes into the vineyards of Mantle Valley. It's going to be a smaller type entrance. What we're hoping to do is just to make it an entrance for the residents of Deep Valley Farm only. What that'll do will be allowed to, whatever the future plans of this U.S. Route 9 realignment may be, will allow the residents here to be able to enjoy. And where this entrance comes out within their site plan is into a lot of commercial area. So what will be able to happen here is residents could park within our parking area. We do have an extensive parking area for the clubhouse here. Sidewalks will join and go to US Route 9 at this area. Again, the multimodal path will be on this side. We understand that the Vineyards is putting in their multimodal path. Crosswalks will be developed so that in the future, either use it for pedestrian or vehicular traffic to be able to allow our subdivision to cross into the Vineyards to enjoy the shopping and all the amenities that they are providing with their project. Lastly, I guess to touch a little bit again on the effect on the area waterways. Again, our main goal here is to provide a nice project with a lot of green open space, a lot of landscaping. The stormwater concept here is we're looking at reducing the pollutants prior to leaving the site. Again, all my studies within this booklet here, we talk about how we're going to be able to do that. Again, utilizing the Green Technology Handbook that is been produced for the state of Delaware. This is one of their number one ways for us to be able to handle stormwater management in the future. So we have taken those ideas, and again, we've met with the Conservation District, and we have taken all their ideas, and we have placed those on this plan here in the application and within the booklet. At this time, that is my presentation.
And we can answer your questions.
Well, thank you, and we'll see if anyone has any questions for you. And we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And once again, I have to admit, I tried really hard to find some questions, and given Mr. Davidson's and the applicant's detailed information that was presented to me, it made it hard for me to come up with any. But I do have one, and that has to deal with your, I guess it's your main road that you're wanting to put in. There's some debate about making that a state road versus a private road, and you're going to maintain it as private. Is that correct?
Yes, it's going to be, and this has been a conversation that Mr. Carey and I have had several times, is that, yes, the state would like it to be a dedicated public right-of-way. And what we're telling the state is by doing, again, this is our gateway into our community.
Right.
And
state, we lose control. So what we're looking at possibly doing is taking the county's minimum street design and looking at the state's minimum street design and maybe trying to work them both together to maybe, to possibly, and again, this is a long boulevard here, this is a lot of construction. No lots are fronting on this, so it has to do with some economics here on how we're going to be able to build this road and possibly, we know that the public's going to use it. We that's just a given with this area, but what will end up happening is this will be a private road, possibly dedicated to public use, and built as closely to state standards as you can feasibly look at.
You can afford to.
As we can afford to, yes.
And I do want to say that the Plus's response to your comments was interesting because one of the things they did say, and I'll quote, the state appreciates that the developer has worked to address our concerns. So I commend you for working with the state and the thoroughness of your presentation. With that said, Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton.
I, too, appreciate the thoroughness. I just have a couple questions. What would be the phasing of this? Would the little area on the Beaver Dam side go first?
No, what we had talked about was, and again, this is all conceptual at this time, but what we talked about is building this main entrance coming in, possibly this first traffic circle, coming down to William Dorsey Street here so that we can incorporate the clubhouse here. So it basically would incorporate this area right here as phase one. Now, from there, it just all depending on how phase one goes. We're also looking at possibly with the phase one, maybe a road out to Beaver Dam Road. Maybe not the second traffic circle right away, because again, tend to be expensive to build. But this approximate area here would be phase one.
When would you think the amenities would go in?
Well, again, the biggest part of the amenity being is our sidewalk. We are proposing a swimming pool. Not quite sure if looking here, possibly maybe 30 lots constitute building a swimming pool right away, but it could go in right away in phase one. Again, this being our central focus area with the barn, the silo. Silos here. The silos are probably going right away. It'd be better to have that construction done from the beginning. Again, it's all based on economics, but the clubhouse could possibly go in during phase one.
What do you think the square foot of the house is going to be?
I think we had talked about something in no less than 1,500 square feet, somewhere probably between 1,500 and 2,200 square feet, I would say.
We have that printed in the deed restrictions, which I will state, as Mr. Schrader said, they need to be revised because of Dukiowa, but they shouldn't be that much different.
And I know this is what you've worked on with Della, but isn't their plan to come across over to Beaver Dam Road?
Yeah, there's been several renditions of their plan.
Okay.
If you've seen the newspaper, and we've been to Plus twice on this. We've had our first application in was 183 lots, then we changed it to 192. This last one, and that's how it was advertised, as 192 lots. This last go-around with Delva decreased our lots to 185. And they're talking about that. You'll see an open space area here. It's somewhere in here. All I've been given is photographs, aerial photos, nothing hard line surveying, but what we have had to dedicate, again, is what everybody has to dedicate. You have to dedicate your standard right away, your standard 15-foot permanent easement for Moldy Molder. But as you can see, I've got a pond on this side, I'm only showing limited landscaping. I didn't want to clutter our plan up here for our presentation, but there will be an extensive landscaping plan for this project, so they are talking about. But what I can tell you is no negotiations have happened with this farm, so basically what we have is we're showing an area here that
So these are all negotiations that we are doing. And if you read in the PLOS, Del Dot does state it's all conceptual at this time.
The largest impact appears to be on the Rollins farm next door, though.
Right.
Yes.
And the vineyards. And are you stubbing out to the Delaware State Housing?
Is yes, that, we are.
We're actually providing a stub to this piece back here. We're stubbing this, which is part of the Rollins farm. On the subdivision plans, on the black and whites, the right-of-way does go all the way to the boundary line.
No further questions.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Gordy.
Mr. Davidson addressed all my questions.
Okay. Mr. Smith?
Just one or two. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you have now or will you prepare a budget for the Homeowners Association, just to give them an idea of what it will cost to maintain the stormwater management facilities and amenities?
The new DeKiowa statute requires, before the property can be proffered for sale, there has to be a public offering statement by a developer for anything offered for sale after July 1st of 2009. They have to have a reserve maintenance that's planned where they were not required before. So there's a lot of extensive changes that developers have to comply with now, and the budget is one of those mandated items. So, yes, we will be, and we have to do this entire public offering as well.
Thank you. And perhaps for the benefit of the commission and the public as well, could you just give us an idea of how long you've been preparing for your presentation tonight? I see some documents 20 months old, things like that. Are you on a two-year timetable here to get here tonight, or it's 3 years? Or
it's been every bit of 2+ years, yes. It's actually, I started with Mr. Carey on this back in just doing a little bit of work with the wastewater issues back in 2004, I believe it is.
2004, my job number
for this project starts with 04, so it started back in 2004.
That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, that's enough. Okay, Mr. Link.
You made reference that when it was advertised, it was 192 or lots. You just said it just a few minutes ago that it was now reduced to 185.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And just for curiosity, what is the height proposed for the silos?
At this time, maybe Mr. Carey can get up here. You might be able to. But what we're looking at is possibly a couple of different heights here. I believe this one here. And I'll let Mr. Carey
state your name.
Paul Carey, and I reside at 18569 Broadfield Plantations Drive in Lewis. The silo closer to the Route 9. We would like to make that at the maximum height that zoning allows right now, which is 42 feet, but would like to come back at for a variance to get the one that is farther away and in the middle, towards the middle of the development, at a much higher height. I say higher height of maybe 10, 15 feet higher possibly, only to just give it a little bit more visibility because it's going to be so far away. And
I asked that question because if it was an agricultural silo, it wouldn't really be a height limitation except
correct
in an airport approach. But since it's not really agricultural, then you've got to deal with the height limitation of the other regulations, which is 42 feet. A variance would be required.
I believe Mr. Carey is in the real estate business, and he probably does some leasing. He might be able to lease that silo out to a farmer somewhere.
Good, there could be some good uses for it.
He probably will. Not him. He probably will. So there you go. Then you don't have a problem. Otherwise, you probably need to ask somebody.
Correct. But
that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right. So we thank you. Council, anything?
No.
Okay. We thank you all. You'll
thank
take
you
a seat nearby. Well, one more question I should have known.
I should have asked.
Mr. Johnson, go
that's
ahead.
That's right. Just for clarification about the amenities, I know that the commission in the past has been struggling with that in terms of, you know, what point are the amenities required. So just for, I know you spoke in the beginning about the pool and that sort of thing. So are you saying that, for example, that the clubhouse and the swimming pool could be provided when you've had the, I guess you're doing 185, you want to say by the time 60, you want to say by 90, or something that's easier for the department to track?
Amenities are very important, particularly on marketing.
And
they are expensive. That's true. You don't want, you know, I'm looking at this, I want to have the amenities in sooner rather than later, because when you get people in, particularly the first purchasers of a home in Deep Valley Farm, if the amenities are not already there, they're going to say, well, how soon is it going to be here? This is the thing. And I know some subdivisions have put it off way to the end. My proposal is to have the clubhouse and pool in at the time of primarily the end of the first phase and going into the second phase. We haven't given that a whole lot of discussion, but the timing of it is sooner rather than later from a positive marketing standpoint of it.
But yeah, you don't want to look like Vincent Overlook and that's why I caution.
I've always said to put in the amenities first is the best thing to do. They did it at the plantations. You have your amenities there, and everybody can see right up front, and it can spur on quicker sales as far as that goes with the amenities being there. So that all of that has to be recognized, but the economics and the expenses of it has to be very closely watched as well.
But for clarification for the commission as well as for the planning and zoning staff and inspectors, if we're talking, I didn't see in here where it was divided up into phases in terms of construction. I know Mr. Davidson made reference to the corner there on Route 9 and the road leading back. I just don't want to save us some hassle later on because we want to make changes.
Actually, if I can point out, item number 32 on the preliminary subdivision plan states recreational facilities shall be constructed and open to the use by residents of the development within 2 years of the issuance of the first certificate of occupancy. So if that satisfies...
See, that's been the problem lately is the time line. We've had several folks come back, you know, and maybe a better way to do that is a number of building permits, mm-hmm. you know. In that way, you're not constrained by the calendar, so to speak.
We're not trying to lead the presenter.
We're not trying to tell you what to do. I'm just
from a legal
you know.
Standpoint, it might want to you want to use that plus or by the completion of the
sure,
X number of homes.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know what our experience with that hasn't been very good lately, and the tack that the folks are taking is maybe just say the number. Permits, but of course we're not telling you what to do because we're not supposed to, are we?
Commission could make a condition of that the phasing plan be submitted and that
you could do that at that stage.
That the amenities be built within the at the conclusion on the first phase.
Okay. That first phase could be 90%.
Practicing law without a license. There you go.
All right. I have no further questions right now.
All right, then. We thank you.
Thank you.
Take a seat nearby. We'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2007-37 Cedar Creek Properties, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2007-37? All right, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll certainly can invite the Graves family to pose for a family picture outside because I don't know how often they all get together like this. But or you may wish to stay with us to see if we make a decision. The next public hearing is subdivision 2007-38, Ralph Picard. Well, I guess not.
We got three?
Yeah. Well, we still got three. You can go ahead. Yeah.
Subdivision number 2007-38 is the application of Ralph Picard to consider the subdivision of land in a GR General Residential District in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 76.62 acres